This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we're about to start with political consultant Mike Baichok. Michael Baichok's been working on the front lines of the Move EBR tax proposal, which is on the ballot tomorrow. And we must note that today is the 77th anniversary of bombing at Pearl Harbor that put the United States in World War II. And it's always good to remember those who sacrificed so much for the life that we now lead almost eight decades later. 877-217-5757. And as noted a few times this week on this program, tomorrow in East Baton Rouge Parish, voters will go to the polls, and one of the signature items is a half-cent sales tax for road improvements in East Baton Rouge Parish. And Michael Baichok, you've been out there promoting this. How's it looking right now?
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on. Tax elections are unlike candidate elections. You know, you have something that's leading in a candidate election, a person. Taxes are just a little bit more difficult to, although I am in the prediction business in another life, they're very hard to predict because they depend very much on turnout and actually who is turning out, not only the numbers, but who shows up. And, you know, it does seem that anti-tax folks show up a little bit more often than pro-tax folks, and that's certainly understandable. So, you know, the polling looks good. I don't think the mayor or the, you know, our supporters would have put this on the ballot if they didn't think that we could pass it. So I'm optimistic but cautious.
Well, it has wide support in the business community. Ralph McAllister has endorsed it. Many Republicans are on board for this tax, but there is a sentiment against taxes, as you noted, any taxes, and there are two tax measures on the ballot tomorrow. Does that gum up the works in any way?
That's a great question, and that's a question that both campaigns, the mental health campaign, which I'm also working with, and the Move EBR folks asked before they put them on the ballot, how will each affect the other? And we polled that, and we found that, you know, most folks don't really take into consideration that they're voting for two, and that, you know, there's a lot of course, cross support for both taxes. So I think if one passes, the other will pass. If one goes down, the other one will probably go down with it.
Well, most people are supporting both publicly. There isn't a widespread opposition. We don't have Fred Den and Tax Busters anymore, but nonetheless, there is a silent group out there, sometimes more vocal, but nonetheless, I would imagine that when you have any kind of tax measure, there's almost a built-in 40% against it.
I would say that's probably right. You know, I've been working on tax elections in the parish for over 20 years, remembering that working for Sheriff Litchfield way back when he tried to pass a jail tax and it failed, and then we came back and passed it again. And this Move EBR coalition of support is something I've really never seen. There's just a tremendous amount of diverse support for the tax, and I think that has to do with the fact that I believe most people in Baton Rouge are just at a turning point with traffic. And we understand that there has to be something that is done. And this plan is different. It's data-driven. It's not created by politicians. It's created by research. And it targets the projects that we know are going to have the most effect. In other words, the biggest bang for the buck.
All right. Well, the tax measure is being promoted, as you would imagine. And one of the talking points is that by 2032, all drivers are expected to save 1.1 million gallons of gasoline in 573 years of time that would be lost sitting in traffic without this proposal. And the tax money is to be spent on a specific list of projects. They can be viewed by going to movebr.net. But what are some of the big items of improvement that are in this measure?
Well, you know, before I talk about that, I think one of the biggest things, the hurdles that we have to get over on the campaign is making sure that voters understand and trust that the money that is going to be raised by this new sales tax will absolutely go to the projects that are listed on the ballot or on the measure, and that, you know, we can't take that money, or politicians can't take that and put it into something else or another project, that these projects will get funded with this money, and there is no alternative.
Well, we have a few listeners who have sent in questions at talk@talklouisiana.org, and you can join us telephonically at 877-217-5757. Here's a good question from Holly in the Garden District. Why wasn't this on the November ballot when the turnout would have been much higher? Was that thought about?
It was. You know, you have to jump through a few legal hoops to get a proposition on the ballot. You have to go before the bond commission. You have to go before the city council to get them to place it on the ballot. And the timing to place this on the November ballot was not met so that we could make those timelines. Otherwise, you know, it would have been better for our purposes to put it on the November ballot, because, you know, historical research shows that the higher the turnout in an election, you know, the more likely a tax is to pass. So that was not by our design. That was just by our necessity, because we couldn't meet the timelines for the bond commission, the city council.
Now, a few days ago, we had Coleman Brown on the show, who's not a supporter of the tax, but he expressed concern about airline highways, saying that expanding airline highway would alleviate a lot of pressure that we have on the interstate. I understand that airline highway is actually in this proposal. In what way, though?
It is. Now, you know, Jim, I'm a political consultant. I'm not a traffic manager or a DPW expert. So, you know, I'm going to have to phone a friend on some of those more specific, okay. And I would phone Fred Rayford. But I would also point people to, you know, the website moviebr.net, where we have a, you know, a long list of the projects. But, yeah, Airline Highway is absolutely in the list, and it will be, you know, widened and expanded. And hopefully that alleviates the traffic on the interstate, because people will be able to take airline rather than, you know, only having one choice to take the interstate.
Well, you grew up in this community, and in your little more than half century in East Baton Rouge Parish, this has been an issue for a very long time. We still call the bridge the new bridge, which is almost 50 years old. When are we going to get some relief? Is this a panacea?
I believe this is the plan, Jim, that, you know, that can give us the relief that we've all talked about. You know, I am old enough to remember the political discussions in the mayoral race with the loop. You know, Pete Hiney, I think, was one of the first.
1980.
Yeah. I mean, I was working, if you can believe that, you know, in those campaigns. And, you know, so we've been talking about a loop for forever. For all of my life, you know, and we've been talking about a new bridge forever. And I do believe that because this plan is developed from traffic data and how new projects will relieve traffic congestion, that this is a positive step forward.
Well, it's a measure that will be on the ballot tomorrow. Also, residents across the state will be voting for Secretary of State Kyle Ardoin, Republican, in a runoff with Gwen Collins Greenup, a Democrat, and Michael, as a political consultant as you are, an observer as I am. That's not the runoff I would have thought was going to happen 3 or 4 months ago, but here we are.
No, that's not the exacta that I would have picked either. No, but that is, you know, what transpired in politics is full of surprises, and you know, no one probably, including myself, would have predicted that, you know, Kyle Ardoin would have, you know, led the field, but it just seemed like the field never really kind of developed enough behind him, and he was and is the Secretary of State, so, and he will likely be the Secretary of State for the next year until there's another election.
And then maybe beyond that, but some say they both benefited from the alphabet. Kyle was the first Republican on the ballot, and Gwen was the first Democrat on the ballot.
That would be a tremendous doctoral, you know, study for someone in college, because there has to be some sort of validity to being the first on the ballot and then being the first Democrat, especially in a race like this, where there were many unknowns. Most of the candidates were not very known at all.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there should be some kind of law where there's like a drawing of some kind to see who's on the ballot first and second and so forth, because I think there is no doubt there's an advantage there.
Well, we know, Jim, from, you know, ballot construction plays a huge part in how many votes candidates get. We've seen that in Florida, where, you know, it may have cost Senator Bill Nelson a Senate seat just due to the placement of his name on a ballot in one county in a state.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that, where a person is placed on a ballot has some effect.
All right. And Tom asked, does this mean that Ralph Abrahams, the next governor of Louisiana, he will likely be first on the ballot next year? He announced his candidacy next year. And last time I checked, A comes before E. So Ralph Abraham will be first on the ballot, most likely on October 12th of next year. But we have an election tomorrow, and we'll talk more with Michael Baichok. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're continuing our discussion for a few more minutes with Michael Baichok, the seasoned political consultant. He's a partner of Trey Orso, and in 2015, they were intricately involved in the governor's election. They were head of Gumbo Pack, which knocked off David Bruce Vitter in his quest to become governor of Louisiana. This time around, I don't know if there will be an orchestrated effort against anybody, but Ralph Abraham, he's not tarnished by scandal as Senator Vitter was. Does that make him, at the get-go, a more viable candidate, Michael Baichok?
Well, I would say, Jim, at this point, we don't know because, you know, like most Louisianians, I really don't know a lot about Ralph Abraham. People say he's a good fella. But even in his first, you know, announcement yesterday that he was running, he didn't say what he was going to do for Louisiana, which I found, you know, I don't really want to be critical, but it seems like that was a great opportunity for him to say, these are the things that I want to do for Louisiana. And these are the things that are different than what Governor John Bel Edwards has done, because, you know, elections are about the differences between people. And, Republicans this year are going to have a pretty difficult time arguing against a budget surplus, fully invested in higher education for the first time in years, low unemployment, and hundreds of thousands of people who have health care, and we're saving, you know, thousands of lives. Those are things that everybody seems to be for, except when you're a Republican running on a ballot.
Well, is it fair to say the Democratic Party is probably breathing a collective sigh of relief that John Kennedy did not get in this race?
I don't speak for the Democratic Party, and I don't speak for Governor John Bel Edwards, but I do think from a political professional perspective that John Kennedy, you know, brought a lot to the table as a candidate. He is a known quantity. He had run a lot of races. Some people say too many, but he had run a lot of races in Louisiana. He knows how to campaign. He knows how to raise money. So these are things that the other two candidates, Abraham and Rasponi, you know, have only done a couple. Well, Rasponi has never done, and Abraham only, you know, twice, really.
Right.
So those are things.
And John Bel only three times.
Those are tangibles, you know, that you take off the table with John Kennedy. And I think he would have been a formidable candidate, and mm-hmm. we certainly think that, you know, these other two Republicans, mm-hmm. you know, at some point may become formidable as well.
Well, your day job is political consulting, but Michael Baichok is quite a handicapper when it comes to horses. He's done very well in that realm. How do you handicap this race?
The governor's race?
Yes.
Governor Edwards has done a great job. He's done a lot of great things for Louisiana. He's made some positive progress. The state is moving in the right direction. He has a positive job approval mm-hmm. rating. If I was on the other side, you know, of that, I would be a little worried about how to construct a winning formula, because those are positive things and people believe in him, and I would make him the favorite, you know, for sure, mm-hmm. especially now.
But he's the only Democratic governor in the Deep South, the only Democratic governor in the 11 SEC states. So he is an aberration, and he probably wouldn't have gotten to the dance without the benefit of having run against David Bruce Vitter. So is it a case in which possession is nine-tenths of the law here?
Being an incumbent has its positives, and for sure, and it definitely has, you know, it's good to be the incumbent. But, Jim, I'll say, you know, we're seeing a change over the SEC schools, as you say, in those states. I mean, we almost won a governor's race in Florida, in Georgia. We hold a Senate seat in Alabama. Mike Espy, I think, ran a fantastic race to get to 46% in Mississippi. You know, times, they are changing in the South, and not – if you want to include, you know, Beto O'Rourke, you know, ran Ted Cruz, you know, to
a couple of points.
Yeah. Things are changing a little bit, and hopefully that
the races are narrowing, but the numbers, you know, 21 Republicans representing the Senate seats in the SEC, one Democrat, and one Democratic governor in John Bel Edwards. And Doug Jones in Alabama, I suspect, will have a very tough race come 2020 for re-election in the great state of Alabama. So we'll see what happens. But tomorrow there is an election. We encourage everybody within earshot to vote. And Michael Baychok has been at the forefront of promoting the MOVE EBR tax. And I notice even the anti-tax zealot Lewis Elwood Woody Jenkins is in favor of this. What's going on here?
Well, I think as Woody has examined the proposal, I think he's come to a conclusion that it's good for Baton Rouge. It's good for Central. Even Scott Wilson, you know, the Central councilman, said this is a great plan for Central. And yesterday, Woody's newspaper, the Estruma Journal, endorsed the tax. So, like I said, Jim, at the beginning, this is an unprecedented coalition of diverse support from all across the parish, because I believe people who have examined it understand that this is the right plan at the right time for Louisiana, for East Baton Rouge Parish.
All right. Zach in Shenandoah. Zach, good morning. You're on the air with Michael Baychok. Hi, Zach.
Good morning. Hi, how are you all today?
Fine.
Good question for you. Where is the money coming from? I mean, who's going to be taxed? What's going to be taxed to create the money for the road amendment?
Right. So that's a good question, Zach. So it is a 0.5-cent sales tax, but food, prescription drugs, and utilities are exempt from that particular tax.
And the exemptions, some say, will make all the difference in the world.
Well, it's not having those type of exemptions to make it, you know, easier on folks that, you know, that are on some fixed incomes. And also, you know, 21% plus of this sales tax will be paid by people who buy goods and services in the parish who live outside of East Baton Rouge Parish.
All right. Another listener, and we've been through this before, but it's important to mention again, ask whether the mental health center is also a sales tax, and it is not. It is a property tax.
It's a 1.5 mil property tax.
So that would mean, what if you're
means the average
$100,000 home, that's what, $150 a year, something
No. Like I think a $200,000 home would pay about $18 a year.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, there you go. It'd be $15, I think, for $100,000. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not an exorbitant tax, but we do have a lot of taxes in Louisiana, particularly sales taxes, and some say that's why the road tax is a tough sell.
Every tax is a tough sell, Jim. You know, we thought that the sales tax would be easier to pass, and we need to make an impact on traffic, and if we don't do anything now, nothing is going to change. And so maybe we took the easiest road because we thought that it was the fairest way to raise the revenue.
Well, it's a case in which people like Adam Knapp, who he's a conservative guy. I saw a letter to the editor today. He said this dispute about whether it's a state road or a federal road or a city road, that it's a road nonetheless, and we got to get from one place to another. And obviously in Baton Rouge we have a lot of difficulty most of the time in rush hour in particular getting to where we need to go.
And you know, one thing that I've heard from folks is well, why are we spending, you know, our parish money on state or federal roads? And my answer is we just can't wait any longer for the state or the federal government to fix those roads because we use them. We have to fix them or else we can't attract new businesses. We can't improve our quality of life here.
877-217-5757. And Michael Baychuk is a guy who's been around a few elections. He's, of course, the son of a veteran politico, Shelley Baychuk, and his son, Bradley Baychuk, is doing big work in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure you talk with Bradley quite a bit. It's kind of tough out there right now, isn't it? It's a vicious world, the world that you circulate in.
I'm on the outside a little bit of it. He's a ground trooper. He's somebody that's on the front lines every day fighting. He's young enough to still fight the fight every day hard.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll be back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana here on WRKF.